Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're on UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Dame Drummer on the line with me. He has a single out called Simply Beautiful, a remake by someone great, but he does a great job, and I'm going to let him tell you why he chose it and why you need to get it. So Dame, tell the people what's going on.
What's up, good people? I'm Dame Drummer from Cleveland, Ohio, based in Oakland, California right now. I'm a master creator.
Yes,
you know, of many things. But, you know, Al Green was a staple in my household, in my community, you know. Mm-hmm. He just couldn't do no wrong musically in our eyes. And I remember I loved all the hits, Let's Stay Together, Still in Love. I loved all that
stuff.
I'm so tired of being alone.
Come on!
I loved all that. But it was something about Simply Beautiful to me as a child that it really did so many things for me, you know, and to me, it was what love sounded like, you know, when you love somebody, I wanted to play that song and sing it from the rooftops and the mountaintops with so many girls as a kid. But I was scared, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm like, I don't know what to do with this, but I know I like it. But, you know, as I started producing music and writing my own songs, I said, you know, I have to pay homage to the songs that made me even want to do this, what I do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I cover a lot of Prince songs because Prince is, like, you know, my favorite artist. But Al Green is one of those people that was just like, you know what? I got to do this song because it meant so much to me. I want a chance to make it mine.
Right.
And so that's where I took it, you know, and it's becoming one of those ones for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what I like? I like that you did pay homage to him, but I love just the fact that your songs, I mean, I'm a fan, really. All of them are so creative. They give me such a good feeling. They have great lyrics, definitely excellent production. Like, how did you get into producing and composing all that you do?
Two people come to mind. In 1993, I met a guy in my hometown of Cleveland named Jazz Mark. My best friend at the time, Joaquin, we were always making noise and beatboxing and rapping. And, you know, we were learning how to use the turntable. So we were mixing. And then one day, Joaquin told me, he said, man, I met this guy that know how to make beats, man. He got a studio. For my whole life, I had been wanting to figure out how to get those things that were in my head out of my head and out of some speakers.
Right.
And Jazz Mark showed us how to work the SP-1200, and then it was a wrap. I was hooked. I had finally had that outlet that I had been looking for, and so I just was producing and making beats every day. I mean, just doing it every day. And then it wasn't until I met my mentor in 2003, Myron Davis. Myron had a hit song out called Destiny back in the day, and he was one of the writers on Tell Me by Drew Hill, but he's from Cleveland, and I met him, and he was the one who taught me how to structure a song, like how to make a song, how to create a really nice bridge in a song, you know, and with those two people, that's how I really started to hone my craft of production. So anytime anyone asks me, like you just did, I can go right back to those two guys.
I love it. And salute to both of them. And I love stories where someone is helping someone do just that. Get what's in your head out through the speakers. I love that. I'm going to have to steal that. That's nice.
Oh, you got that. You got that.
So now you also have a song called Faith that you did a collaboration with. How was that inspired?
Yeah, so Faith is a song that I did with my brother Kariga Bailey for my film Black Daddy the Movie.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, Kariga Bailey, that's my brother. You know, we've done a lot of work together, but you know, Kariga and his wife Felicia, they lost their child, their first child, you know, Kamayu. And when I was doing this the soundtrack to Black Daddy, I definitely wanted to cover the area of grief, right?
Uh-huh.
Consequently enough, as I'm composing the song, the night that I composed the song, you know, that day we had been looking for my father. We hadn't heard from him. And I believe that in that moment I was composing the song for Kariga, for him to, you know, speak about grief and the loss of his daughter, my dad had transitioned while I'm making this film about fathers, you know.
Wow.
And so I was compelled to write about it, you know, while Kariga was in the studio cutting his verse. And I just penned my whole verse while Kariga was spitting his verse. And that's how that song came to be. And it's just about battling grief, how we're dealing with it, and how we get through it using our faith, you know, mm-hmm. in the Most High. And it's just a beautiful song. It's deep.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. I love it. I told you we added it to our playlist on our radio show. Now, talk about the film Black Daddy, the movie. A lot of what I've seen about you, you're for men, but maybe specifically Black men, and the struggles and the growth and the encouraging their power and strength. Am I correct in mm-hmm. saying that?
You are correct. I want to add that I'm for the Black family. I am for the Black family, but specifically, yes, Black man, because I am a Black man, uh-huh. and I have a lot of experience being nurtured and cared for by Black men, as opposed to what the narrative is that, you know, that we don't care about each other, that we just mm-hmm. hyperviolent, or only thing we can offer each other is a comedic relief or athleticism. But I've actually been raised, you know, in neighborhoods of Black men, and I've had Black men around me my whole life. So I wanted to change the narrative and actually speak our truth, because we are dope and we don't get pats on the back for the good stuff that we do that's unseen.
Right.
So I wanted to bring it into the light and just talk about all the different kind of fathers, you know.
Right.
In the film, we talk about fathers who are in traditional relationships. We talk about the absentee father. We talk about the stepfather. We talk about battling grief. We talk about battling your partner in the court system for your children. We talk about incarcerated fathers. You know, there's room for anything that you've gone through, whether you've had a father or not, whether you are a father or not. It's in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautifully shot, and there's an amazing score and soundtrack to it. I've won over 30 awards for the film in different film festivals, so it's just some work that I'm very pleased with and thankful that I got to steward something like that, you know.
Yeah. What inspired you to do a film? You have any background in that, or you just that dude?
No, I mean, I did not have any experience with it, but when the 2020 hit, we all know that the world got flipped upside down.
Right.
And I wanted to continue to create, but didn't know how. And I'm like, well, shoot. And simultaneously, I was going through a separation, which is now a divorce, my wife. And I was trying to find my why in life.
Right.
I didn't want to do music anymore. I didn't want to do music at all. And so, but what kind of helped me out of my transition for, you know, really trying to take my life is what I did, you know, if I can be honest about it.
We are where key players speak, so we tell our truths over here. As long as it's going to help somebody.
Right on.
You know.
That's right. So I did. I attempted, you know, to get up out of here, try to check out, and God said no.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
I got you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to use you. You know, it's reminding me of my children. Like, you're not finished training these children.
Right.
You can't do that to them. And I was also an educator at the time, too, you know.
Right.
An administrator. It's over, you know, 260-something kids, you know. So I said, all right, I'm a father. And if I don't have anything else to save my life right now, I don't care about music or anything. I care about being a father. So that's what I have. That's what I'm going to focus on. And I said, and I know a lot of brothers who were helping me throughout that time
were
also fathers, you know.
Right.
So I said, man, I'm going to tell y'all a story, because the way y'all loved on me through this period of my life, I got to show that. And it's not talked about enough how we do come together when we really need each other, you know.
My God. Yeah.
And so that's the whole inspiration for that film.
Come on, tell me mm-hmm. about this song. What inspired it? And I understand it means like victory or to overcome something.
Yeah, well, I'll explain it.
Okay.
Ayaya is the first thing that I did after my attempt, okay. my suicide attempt. It was the first thing. And if I'm being all the way honest, I wrote the song, I was butt naked. And coming really out of a nasty place, you know.
Right.
I was like literally just had come out of that place where it was a tug of war for my life. And I sat up.
Oh, God.
And I sat on the edge of my bed and I said, ay, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the first words. But later, after I recorded the song and I started studying scriptures, I found out that the name of the Most High is Ahaya. I had uttered those three syllables, ay, 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 out of my mouth. But what I was really crying out to was Ahaya, right? So it was the first song that I wrote. I talked about being devastated by being apart from my wife. I talked about the tricks that the enemy was trying to play on in my mind and over my life and the lies that he was telling me. And then I talked about how triumphant that I'm going to be. I need everybody else to be.
Right.
You know, say the hook is, you know, you born, you grind, you live, you die. Aye, aye, aye. And I said, you laugh, you cry, you love, you fight. Aye, aye, aye. You know, it's like, these are the things that will make you want to check out. These things, this world will play games with you and have you striving for something. If those things that you're striving for come to a halt, like if it's a family that you've been wanting to have all your life and it suddenly comes to a halt, or if this is the dream job that you have and you get fired, or, you know, your parents who were always there end up on crack and they ain't there no more, you know?
Right,
it's like all these things that make you want to check out and, you know, but I chose to recognize the attack of the enemy and choose the light instead of letting it suck me into the darkness. And that's the message that I want for everybody, because we all on a mission and in a journey in this life, and we all hit those dark points in those valleys, but there's always a way out.
That's powerful, man. That's powerful. So Simply Beautiful is part of the album project.
Simply Beautiful is part of an album I'm about to drop next month called Our Love. And it's got some real gems on there.
Do you have another song on there that you produced and wrote that you like?
Ooh, yes, all of them. But I really like Angel.
Okay.
Angel is about, it's one of those songs that I wrote that can be applied to anybody that's an angel in your life. I love Run It Up. And I also love, there's another one that I wrote called Dance. Remember going to the club, right? And at some point, the DJ would say, all right, we're getting ready to slow it down.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then you had to find somebody you're going to slow dance with, right? When the last time you've been to the club and that's happened?
Right. True.
Years and years. So I have a song and I'm going to encourage the artist slow dancing again, because I think it's something to it. And I love it and I miss it. Every time I go to the club, it's hurting 100%.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Bottles popping, bottles flying, and all the stuff. And Dance, Angel, Run It Up, Simply Beautiful, they all my favorites.
Okay. That's what's up. Now, let's talk about the NPR Tiny Desk situation real quick before you go.
Hey. Right. Tiny Desk, you know, Tiny Desk is an amazing platform. I think that it's safe to say that any artist that has seen it would love to play Tiny Desk, because it's such a vibe. There have been some amazing concerts there. So, you know, I entered the contest a few years ago with this song that I don't think that I set up the proper context of the song. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
The song is called Get What You Gave, and it's pretty much like a critical blow to racism, to white supremacy,
right.
You know, to all of these things. And I wanted to spark the conversation because, if we're being honest, America is shucking and jiving and diving the conversation of reparations, of the atrocities that has happened to specifically the melanated people of this country. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to acknowledge it. And I feel like the greatest fear of this country is, man, what if what we did to them happened to us, right?
Right.
And so I wrote a song about it. And the song isn't to say that it's what I want to see happen. The song is to say, hey, are you guys really that, you know, is this country really that stubborn where we don't want to sit down and have a conversation and actually fix these things? Because first, if you just acknowledge it, right, and you present to the people that this happened to, hey, this is a real problem and we really need to come to the table and see about fixing this, then these people are going to continue to box them into this place. So I wanted to write a song that says, hey, man, if this happened to you, how would you really feel? And I think that there's not a song that exists other than mine that really makes you really sit down and think about it.
Okay.
The first line, I'm not going to say it on your station. I want people to hear it for themselves. But it's one of those openers that I got you on the hook until the song is over.
All right. Tell them where they can get that song. Tell them where they can get all your stuff. Give them all your social media. I'm sorry. I don't got it. You know from the top of the conversation, you had me hype. So, all right. Dame Drummer.
Go ahead.
Dame Drummer, tell people how they can reach you and obtain your music on digital platforms.
You can find me on each and every platform under @DameDrummer, DameDrummer.
Okay.
That's YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and my website is www.damedrummer.com. go on there, sign up for my newsletter so I can keep you close and personal about the things that I'm doing. So, you know, we can form a relationship and build and see each other and have conversations around the world.
Listen, let me tell everybody right now, he is a master creator. You're going to love it all. I love it all. I know I'm a little biased about everything, but you know, so what? But Dame Drummer, thank you for coming through. We appreciate your gift. We love what you're doing. Keep doing it. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So the next album, the next film, please consider UrbanBuzzMag.com as one of your media partners.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Yeah, here's to the future and building a relationship. I thank you. Can't wait to see you guys soon.
All right, then.
Okay, sis, I appreciate you.
All right.